It's a residency at the House of M's.
This is Triple M Nights with Dave Gleeson.
We did a bad, bad thing. We came up with a shameful, wicked game. Wicked game. To play on air with music superstar Chris Isaak. It's called Somebody's Crying with Dave Gleeson. We get four celebrities in glass cages and four wasps we genetically modified only to feel the need for revenge in there with them. And our guest has to guess the celebrity from their crying or...
We advise the following segment will go ahead without the aforementioned promotion pending legal status.
Somebody's crying.
We get Chris Isaak on the phone at the same time as Dave Gleeson and see what happens. He's got one of the smoothest crooning voices in music. We don't know whether to cry or dance the twist when he comes on. He's no stranger to Australia either. He's been a judge on X Factor and he's enjoyed three top three albums. Please welcome one of the hardest working musos on the scene. We can't wait for a day on the green. It's Chris Isaak.
Here at Triple M, we love playing you the music, but one of my favourite things to do on my show is to talk to the makers of the music, and you are going to love this guy. It is Chris Isaak. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Mate, it is so great to hear you coming back to Australia. 8 years since you've been here on tour. You must be looking forward to getting back down under.
I am. It's, you know, we didn't intend to stay away that long, but the pandemic kind of came right in the middle, and it knocked us out of our chance to come back.
Now, obviously you love coming here to tour and to play music to people, but you also have a real love of the countryside and especially the surf beaches of Australia. Is that true?
You know, I'm a California guy and I love to surf, and I'm a lousy surfer. I'll admit that. I'm friends with Lane Beachley, and she took me surfing, and I watched her surf and I went, you know, I'll never be any good. You watch somebody who's great at something and you go, yeah, I'm glad I'm having fun doing it because I could never make a living at this. So she was just amazing.
Well, I'm sure she thinks the same thing when she watches you perform, mate. You've been such an amazing part of the industry, the music industry, not just in the States, but all around the world for 30 years or so now. What do you reckon, what is it that makes you kind of inspired to keep on going, keep making new music and keep performing for people?
I love singing. I sing every day. It's like I'm always working on a song, always got some not always great songs, but always working on one. And it's just, I loved doing it when I started off doing it and I was, 13 or something. I was trying to write songs, and here I am doing it all these years later, and I still have fun doing it.
Well, and that's an amazing thing. I mean, I'm also in a band, and one of the things that The Screaming Jets, yes, on a long term, 35 years.
What's the title of your most recent album, Screaming Jets?
Professional Misconduct.
Oh, I like that. Professional Misconduct.
I actually barged into your dressing room one time. You were performing on the Footy Show. I don't know if you remember that, all those years ago. And I'd been watching the Chris Isaak show, let me tell you, one of my favourite all-time things to watch. And I barged in, and I'm like, oh, I love you guys. And you gave me that look that I give to people who barge into our dressing room. Get out, mate.
Don't feel bad. Sting, this is a true story. My drummer, Kenny, we're in a dressing room at some big, concert with a bunch of different bands. And Sting walked into our dressing room. And he just kind of was standing there, and Kenny turns around. He goes, hey, buddy, I'm putting my pants on. Get out of here. And Sting turned around, and walked out. And I said, Kenny, do you know who you just threw out of our dressing room? You threw out Sting.
No, he plays no favorites then, obviously, Kenny.
Yeah.
Now, it says here in your press release that you were sitting on the front porch of your place in Nashville, Tennessee, and smiling, but being one of the hardest working men in the business, how much time do you actually get to sit around at home?
Not that much. And I don't like it when I sit around. If I don't know about you, but I'm a moody moody guy. if I get left on my own, I start thinking, and that's not good. So like I, you know, I'll call my manager and go like, why am I not working? Come on, let's go.
Mate, it's an inspiring way to be, but it is the best job in the world, but it does come with it, with its pitfalls and downside. Obviously, spending time with your friends and stuff like that obviously takes a bit of a back seat for when you're on tour.
You know, what's that? I haven't got no friends. If I had, I know I'd treat them bad. The world passed me by. I sit alone and I cry. Look at me, I'm a moody guy.
Unreal.
Fenton and the Fentones.
Fantastic, mate. So when you were a kid growing up and you were listening to music, what was your inspiration? I mean, you've obviously got that rockabilly kind of sensibility. Was that kind of what drew you to music in the first place?
We didn't, you know, when I was growing up, this is before cell phones and before we didn't have a bunch of different musical sources at our house. It was the radio, and then my parents had a box of records and a little record player that was like a little portable thing that plugged in, and that was it. That's all the music we knew. So we wore those records out, and we knew it was Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash and Elvis and Roy Orbison, and my dad played all those records, and my mom played jazz albums. And the jazz never stuck.
Right.
You know, like she'd play this, you know, more avant-garde jazz music. And I go, it was good, but we stuck with Johnny Cash and Elvis.
Sure. Well, you're coming out here to do a massive tour. You're doing the Day on the Greens with a bunch of great Australian artists and doing your own shows as well. What have we got? How do you go about putting your set list together?
You know, I've been working at it, and I've got it right here with me. But you know, of course, I'm going to do
maybe the bad bad thing, maybe the bad bad thing.
You ever love someone so much you thought your little heart was going to break in two?
Wait a sec, it's a screaming jet over my head.
Oh, I love it.
We do that. We got to do, you know, we'll do Wicked Game. We do Baby the Bad Bad Thing, Blue Hotel. We do the ones that people want to hear. That's our idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to throw stuff in that you go, you didn't think we were going to play this, did you?
And I hear the band follows you wherever you're going to go.
That's the nice thing about playing with the same guys for almost 40 years is if I just start playing something, they follow me.
Awesome. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We can't wait for you to get here, kicking off in April. Oh, and just one more thing. What about Jack Black? How do you get on with Jack after he did such a brilliant version of Wicked Game?
He actually called and asked, would I mind if he did a video of it? And I saw it and I said, I love it. I said, go ahead.
Thank you so much for your time, Chris. I know you've got plenty on, and we can't wait for you to get here and maybe come into Triple M and say good day.
I would love to. Thanks, man. Good to talk to you, Dave.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks, mate.
For all the latest rock news, interviews, and backstage experiences, don't forget to subscribe to Triple M Rock on the Listener app.